Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a 40-14 loss for the Titans last night on Sunday Night Football. They fall to 10-5 on the season. Still in first place in the AFC South thanks to some help yesterday from the Pittsburgh Steelers, but a disastrous night for the Titans on Sunday Night Football. Taking your reaction all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, I think we knew heading into this game, even with the weather, that with the Titans' lack of pass rush, with all the issues they've had in coverage and in the secondary all season long, that trying to cover Devontae Adams, trying to slow down Aaron Rodgers, was going to be a challenge in this game, and it was. Rodgers finishes 21 of 25, 231, 4 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Devontae Adams pretty much did whatever he wanted to do last night, 11 catches, 142 yards, and 3 touchdowns on the night on 12 targets. That, to me, wasn't all that surprising. They've been doing that to pretty much everyone all season long, regardless of who the opponents are. But I was surprised by how much success Green Bay had in the running game from this perspective. We know how good Aaron Jones is. Jamal Williams has been very good for the Packers this year, was not able to play last night. He's out. And then early on in the game, Aaron Jones gets hit in the leg and goes out with an injury. He's hobbling around. He's been dealing with a foot for the past few weeks anyway and takes a shot to the hip and was out for a few series. And A.J. Dillon comes in, who was the second-round pick for the Packers in this past year's draft, has struggled all season long to get on the field. He was out with COVID for like a month and a half and hasn't been able to like get his conditioning back and get reps in. And he comes in last night and just bulldozes through the Titans defense. 21 carries, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns on the night. And, Joe, it was just surprising to me. I mean, you've got the third-string running back for the Packers coming in, and he looked like he had been in the NFL for 5 years. He just gashed the Titans last night.
Yeah, he's a load for sure. But it was, and there were just times again where it's short yardage, and you know what they're going to do. The Titans know what they're going to do, and there's just no push up the middle. It's just, it's easy for the Packers, and they end up with 37 carries for 234 yards, 6.3 a carry. Now, if you want, you could say, yeah, well, take the 36 yards off that, you know, if the ref who's looking right at Aaron Jones' foot, like, calls him out of bounds. So that's still
– got a legitimate argument.
So, yeah. So, but that's still 37 for 198, a nice 5.4 a carry. I mean, regardless, it was they were just really handled up front. And that hasn't really been a thing lately. They've been – okay against the run, although the Lions kind of got them too. It's been less of a problem. I know some teams just don't even care about running the ball, but you knew last night the Packers were going to try to do that. I mean, it made sense in that environment, and it was very disappointing to see just what they did up front and their front seven. I mean, they were handled. They often got outflanked on the outside, didn't set the edge, and they looked feeble.
They did, and I mean, you know, it's a bad night for your defense when the other team never has to punt, and J.K. Scott never saw the field last night for the Packers to punt the ball. That's a tough situation to be in, and you got to think moving forward. Like, as it gets colder, I mean, you may run into these situations in the playoffs if you end up in Buffalo or Kansas City or wherever you end up. If you're the Titans and things go well this weekend and you find a way to get in the playoffs, teams are going to be more apt to run the ball in the colder weather and as the conditions get worse on the outside. And if I'm the Titans, like, obviously you're concerned about the pass defense right now with the lack of ability to get to the quarterback. I mean, we've talked about that ad nauseum this year with this defense. The one thing you can have happen is to struggle on pass defense and also get gashed in the running game. I mean, that's what happened to him yesterday. And when you do that, I mean, you give yourself absolutely no chance, I think, to hang in these games if you can't stop either facet of an offense. I mean, that's what we saw yesterday. The Packers, if they wanted to throw the ball, they could throw it. If they wanted to hand it off right up the middle to A.J. Dillon, they were able to do that and have success. And if you're that bad defensively that you can't force an offense to throw the ball to beat you or have to pick to run the ball to beat you, if they can do it either way, I mean, you're just not giving yourself much of a chance in these games, especially against some of these elite teams that you're going to see if you find a way to get into the playoffs.
I mean, again, I'm watching them line up on the first play of the game, and I'm like, wait, who the heck is this? Does that guy even have his name on his jersey right now? Like, did they just, like, pick up his jersey on the way to the stadium and throw him out there? I mean, that's the kind of – I mean, they are just in all kinds of trouble. Of course, we haven't mentioned – I mean, Derek Roberson couldn't play. And Derek Roberson hasn't done a lot. I mean, he gives them some pass rush here and there. But, you know, it's Harold Landry, and it's now Brooks Reed and Wyatt Ray are the other two guys supporting him. And that's, again, that's pass rush. But, you know, a guy like Rashawn Evans, you know, you wanted him to have more of an impact in that game last night, positive versus negative impact. And I just didn't see enough of it. You know, I thought David Long was running around making plays. I also think that David Long, that doesn't suit him as well, the straight ahead power game. You know, I mean, the Titans safeties had to get super involved last night. I think Byard had, what, 9 tackles. I mean, Vaccaro was flying all over the place. I think you saw the difference he makes with that team, and he was being very aggressive against the run at times, a couple tackles for loss. But, again, it's like if your safeties are having to make that many plays, what does that say about the rest of your defense?
Exactly. And, you know, outside of a couple of guys, I thought it was an extremely poor tackling performance from the Titans last night. I mean, sure, you can blame it on the weather if you want to. A.J. Dillon's a load. We know that. Devontae Adams is hard to bring down. I just didn't think they did a great job of tackling last night. And Mike Vrabel talked about that after the game. Here's what Titans head coach Mike Vrabel had to say.
You know, when you have help and you have, guys, you know, we just have to understand where our help is and play to our help and, you know, be able to tackle and know when you have to close the space and all those fundamental things. You know, I think when the footing and the weather is what it is, the fundamentals are going to be, you know, maybe what carries you through, whether that's on defense or taking care of the football or, you know, protecting a lot of things. None of it was good enough.
And, Joe, I just thought there were some examples last night of just not smart football defensively. Like, I think to the first touchdown for the Packers, and I think you pointed this out on Twitter, you're throwing basically an RPO bubble screen to Devontae Adams, which the Packers do a lot. And Adoree Jackson is lined up one-on-one. Kevin Byard is rushing right next to him in the middle of the field, and Adoree Jackson goes inside on Adams, and all Adams has to do is slip past him towards the sideline and stretch out the ball for the touchdown. Just not very good situational awareness there. Obviously not very good tackling on that play either, and that happened way too often for the Titans last night.
Yeah, Vrabel said it right there. Know where your help is, and usually that means turn guys inside to where other players are and don't let them, don't let the shake allow them to have the sideline. But there's a great example of it. And then there were other examples, too, of, again, not setting the edge. You let Aaron Jones get out on that big play. That big play should have been a TFL for the Titans, and they let him get out. So, yeah, it was just all around just a defense that didn't look connected. Like you said, wasn't smart enough, certainly wasn't physical enough. So, if you look at, you know, potential opponents, we've seen the Browns kind of rough up the Titans, although that was a lot of play action and just throwing the ball around the field. But, you know, the teams that can run the football and have balance, kind of like their offense usually does, I think, pose a particular threat to this defense. Not that this defense can't give up a lot of points and yards to just about anyone at this point.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think we're naive to think that that's not going to be the case as they move forward here. I get it. Adoree's back. And look, I don't think Adoree had a great game last night. I think that's going to help as they move forward here. But this defense at this point, to me, it just is what it is. It's not very good. I don't think there's much room for it to get a whole lot better as currently constructed. So you know, if you're heading into a playoff matchup, if you're the Titans, you're going to have to score 30, 35 points to feel good about giving yourself a chance to win a game. And I just wonder if that formula is sustainable. And we'll talk about that on the other side when we come back. Do the Titans even have a prayer against other elite offensive teams in the league, given how bad their defense is? We'll discuss that next. Get your reaction as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The toss out to Adams, and Adams dives. Does he get in? He does. Touchdown. Dillon stays in. The play fake to him, and then Rodgers will go for the touchdown, and does. And the throw into the end zone is hauled in by Adams for the touchdown.
It was a big night for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers last night against the Titans. They win 40-14 in front of a national audience, and the Titans fall to 10-5 on the season. One game left coming up this Sunday against the Houston Texans. It was still an opportunity to win the AFC South for the first time since 2008. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning. We'll take your reaction to the Titans all show long on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked about it all year long, the margin for error for this Titans offense. We saw it last night, what happens when the Titans don't have a good game offensively. You just don't really have a chance. And I would expect, as you move forward here, that the Titans aren't going to have any more showings quite like this one in just terms of the ineptitude offensively that we saw last night from this group. I would expect them to be better. I would expect them to continue to be productive like they've been largely all season long. My question is, though, if you're going up against other elite offensive teams like the Packers, more specifically in the AFC like the Bills or the Chiefs or whatever team you want to throw out there, depending on what day it is, if the Colts play that way, the Browns, whatever you want to say, do the Titans even have a prayer in these games, given how bad their defense has been and just how inept they are at stopping really all facets of the game defensively? Do you even give yourself a chance if you're the Titans to win some of these games against another elite offensive team? Like, is the Titans' defense that bad where you basically have to play a perfect game if you're Ryan Tannehill in that offense?
Yeah, or you have to – that defense has to do what it has done at times this year, which is tip a ball at the line and pick it off, you know, find a way to get a turnover. Malcolm Butler did have a nice pick last night, by the way, long after, you know, it mattered. Yep. But, I mean, that's it. I mean, to me, it's you've got to find a way to get some turnovers and get some extra possessions. Other than that, yeah, pretty much it's on that offense. Don't screw it up, guys.
No pressure, you know? Guys.
I mean, it's like – go ahead.
No, it's just, I mean, it's a horrible spot to be in. I mean, if you're that offense, just think about it. I mean, they're going to get a lot of crap today, and I get it. They put up 14 points. But this is really like the first, I guess, abysmal performance that they've had in a long time, maybe even all season long. Like, I'd have to go back through every game and really check it. But, I mean, you're giving yourself no margin for error. And I just look at this team, and Porth, you've talked about that this year. It almost feels to me, with how bad this defense is, that you're just wasting an opportunity with this offense. You've got Tannehill playing so well, last night notwithstanding. Henry, he's got 1,700 yards. If his defense was worth any sort of, you know, something this year, he'd probably be at 2,000 already, or at least close to it. And it feels like to me that with all of these things in place, with the offense as good as it is, that it's ultimately not going to matter, because it's hard to sustain an offensive performance that you're going to, I think, have to have in the playoffs in order to make a Super Bowl run with this defense on the other side And that's got to be a frustrating place to be if you're a Titans fan. You've been waiting for so long to get the offense to this point where it's of, you know, one of the top in the NFL, arguably the top in the NFL when everything's clicking and rolling right, and your other side of the ball just totally falls apart.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, in my mind, and I know this is wrong way to think about things. I mean, there's a win and end game Sunday in Houston, you know, to win the division for the first time since 2008. There's a postseason, you know, as long as the Titans either win that game or either the Colts, Ravens, or Dolphins lose, they're going to be in the playoffs. There's a postseason to think about. And look, I mean, this team, this offense, I mean, it's something that other teams don't want to see. I mean, this team can still, I think, have some success in the playoffs. But in my mind, I am already thinking about next year. And I have. I've kind of looked at this year. I mean, they're 10-5. It's a good year, but it does feel like a bit of a waste. I mean, is it a waste if you win your division? I mean, I guess it's hard to say that, but it's hard to have a lot of optimism about this team in the postseason because it's so terrible on defense. And, you know, last year, for one thing, going into the playoffs, they were on a huge run even to get in. So they had to play really, really well week after week just to get into the postseason. But that defense last year was solid all year. It wasn't great, but it was solid. You know, it was fine. It gave you a chance. It got you some stops. And all of a sudden, I mean, last year it was all about that offense figuring things out. And if they just can maintain solid, okay, from last year to this year, what would they be right now? I think they'd be a real contender to get to the Super Bowl. And that's what's just so disappointing is they've taken such a big step backward on that side of the ball. So many moves that have just obviously – I mean, their second-round pick last night is just a healthy scratch. Yeah. And I understand that Christian Fulton, I mean, a lot of that, he's hurt, he misses time and things like that. But you think about, again, it's hard to not circle all the way back around to what moves did you make to improve the team? How did those go? And, man, that is a sobering list of moves and what they haven't done for this team.
It's just so frustrating. Like, you finally get to the point where you've got a Super Bowl-caliber offense. Like, just think about the history of the Titans and how long you've been waiting to get to a point where your offense is truly good enough to win a Super Bowl, to compete for a Super Bowl, and you're finally here. And it just feels like outside of a superhuman effort in the playoffs from Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, your defense is so bad that you basically don't give yourself a shot. Like, I'm not saying the Titans can't find a way back to the AFC title game based on how good their offense is. I think they can. But, like, I look at that matchup last night, and even though I know that Kansas City's been struggling a little bit of late and certainly struggled yesterday against Atlanta, like I just think about in the playoffs, if you're running up against a team in the AFC like Kansas City, you don't have a chance in that game with the defense playing the way it is. Like, you're not going to get off the field, and that just puts so much pressure on the offense, and it's so frustrating that you've finally gotten there offensively and your defense has just completely fallen off the table.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm looking last night, you know, Brooks Reed again, that first snap, I'm like, what am I looking at here?
And a bunch of hair, that's what you were looking at.
A whole lot of hair.
He does have a beautiful head of hair. That's true. Flowing out there. But, of course, that also made me think of, gosh, Clay Matthews. Like you're picking up Brooks Reed, like, I don't know, Clay Matthews?
Yeah.
Cam Wake? I don't know. Don't ask me, man. But
what could it hurt? Why not? Yeah.
I mean, maybe Clay Matthews is just, you know, all lathered up in a fury last night against his old team. But, you know, regardless, I mean, look, hey, right now, would you take Jadeveon Clowney if you could? Titans? I know Stillman wouldn't. He'd still sit him down and go with Brooks Reed. But
Heidi probably wouldn't, but yeah, I would.
You know, it's just – so some of that is they've had some bad luck, but, boy, it's just a lot of the bad luck is self-inflicted. And, yeah, it's just hard to – I still think, like you said earlier, I mean, look, Devontae Adams is going to make people look silly. It didn't work out well for Dory Jackson against him. Still helps this team a lot. And I thought Desmond King was bad last night, by the way, too. But, you know, I mean, I still think their secondary should be able to hold up pretty well against a lot of teams, you know, in situations. But like if there's that little pass rush, if a quarterback can, again, 14.5, I've never seen anything like that. 14.53 seconds. Aaron Rodgers had the ball one play. Yeah, you know, if that's the case, and then how do you change that? You know, what you hope is like a guy like Jeffrey Simmons gets some. And I was watching Rams Seahawks yesterday. You know, the Rams didn't win, but again, like Aaron Donald, like what he does for that team and that defense, you don't need people on the edge, you know, and the people on the edge benefit from him. And I thought maybe Simmons would do that more this year. And I think that's part of why they moved Jarrell Casey to go get Clowney. Because Simmons is going to be this guy who at least commanded double teams, but certainly got pressure inside, was disruptive, and his impact seems to be fading, and that's just a bad thing for this defense. And Rashawn Evans, I mean, there's a guy who I think has had a highly disappointing season overall, and that's not to even mention the mistakes, but just his impact. If they're not in goal line,
yeah,
I don't think he's playing well.
I'm glad you brought him up because he is invisible out there until he makes just this stupid play, like the hands to the face last night. You could have called it three different times on Bakhtiari. He had the hands to the face. It just seems like he is either totally invisible out there until you get to the goal line, which he turns into like the greatest defender ever, or he's just making these ridiculous plays that are just so stupid out there. Rashawn Evans, I think he's been awful this season to the point where if I'm the Titans, I got to worry about the long-term future of that guy. I mean, he's been terrible out there defensively.
No, it's one of the big disappointments of the season because I would argue going into the season, you're seeing steps from him. You know, you're seeing steps in the right direction. And for whatever reason, now again, you can look at him and look at Beyer, look at whoever you want and say, maybe the collective crappiness, you know, has had an adverse effect, but those are guys that you expect to bring the level up, you know. And I thought down the middle this year the Titans looked good, you know, with Evans and Brown, you know, with Byron Vaccaro, and it's just like who's playing well right now on this defense. I'd say Byron is probably playing better lately. Yeah. Vaccaro. But again, like your safeties, you know, like you're like who up front? I'll give Harold Landry, like he's got to get some kind of award for Iron Man award. You know, he has 8 tackles, 1 for a loss last night. He plays every snap. He plays his heart out. He has so little help. But who else up front? You know, we mentioned Simmons not having the impact, but who else up there is having any kind of impact? They're just their whole front seven has been a massive disappointment.
I felt the 4th-and-1 where A.J. Dillon took it to the house from like 20 or 30 yards out was indicative of this Titans defense all season long, where you have a huge play in the game. It's really your last chance to get back in the game is make a stop and then go down and score a touchdown. You're down 12 points at that point, 26-14, and you cannot make a tackle to save your life.
Yeah.
And Dillon just takes it to the house. You know, he didn't really have to break tackles. The Titans just missed tackles. And the fact that the Titans are so soft defensively and you can just push them around, you can do whatever you want if you're an opposing offense, is just this ominous cloud hanging over this team, even though they're just one win away in week 17 from winning a division title.
Yeah, like it's a weird feeling, and that's a good point you bring up on like that run specifically with A.J. Dillon. Like the one thing that I can't really figure out about this rush defense is just like the continued bad angles that people take. I mean, it's like they've never tried to tackle anybody running the ball before. They take an angle, and all of a sudden the running back's going the complete opposite direction. I mean, that's been the case all season long, and that's a problem, Joe. I mean, you're taking bad angles like that. You're not making good decisions of where to force the ball carrier. It's not a good recipe for success.
Well, I mean, it's just so, again, it's so disappointing when you think about, you know, 4 straight 9-7 seasons. Everybody wants them to break out of it. They have broken out of it. They are about to win the division, but those 4 teams had solid defense. You would never have called any of those defenses soft. They had some bad performances. You know, they had their bad moments, their ups and downs. They also, a couple of those defenses were up in the top 3 in the NFL in rush D. You knew they could do that. And It is. I think soft is fair. They have become a soft defense, and I can't for the life of me figure out how that happens that drastically from last year to this year.
When we come back, we'll get into one of the takeaways from the game last night. The officiating sucked. How much of an impact did that have on the Titans and the final score? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Aaron Jones gets free. Looks like he can stop early on. And Aaron Jones right now skirting the sideline, stays in bounds.
Mike, on the long run by Jones that set up one of the Packers' touchdowns, replay showed he was clearly out of bounds. Did you guys not get a look that quick enough to maybe make a challenge?
Yeah, no, by the time the ball was snapped, that was the first view that we got as it was coming down. And, you know, so that was unfortunate. I wish we'd have been able to tackle him and set the edge when we had him in the backfield.
Blinded by the light.
That was Mike Vrabel after the game last night talking about the Aaron Jones run that on replay was very clearly out of bounds. Jones with a 59-yard run on that play. And look, I'll be the first one to tell you. The Titans should have had him in the backfield. That should have been a non-issue to begin with. But it was pretty clearly out of bounds. The official is 5 yards away from it. He's staring right at the sideline. How he missed that call is beyond me. I guess you could blame it on the snow. But on the replay, it still looked like it was pretty clear to determine where the field was and where the sideline was. An obvious, obvious miss for the officials on that play with Aaron Jones. You think back to earlier in the game, there's a field goal block that the Titans have. They pick the ball up and return it deep into Packers territory, and they're called for offside on the play. Josh Kalu called for lining up offside, and you go back and look at it, there's not a single Titan that's lined up offside, much less Josh Kalu, who, Joe, I'm still convinced on that play, may have been the furthest Titan away from the ball, and he's the one that ends up getting called for being offside. There were a couple of moments last night where the officiating was just absolutely atrocious in this game.
Yeah, so, you know, I've got some Lions Twitter in my followers, so I heard a little bit of, oh, here we go again. There's like some, what is that picture of your beloved Packers with like the officials in the end zone? Is that a real picture? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, I'll try. It was in, someone put it in my mentions last night. It was like this picture of like the Packers and the officials. It's probably like Photoshop, but it's like they're all celebrating a touchdown together.
I would assume that's Photoshopped.
It was a very good Photoshop. I mean, but hey, you know, the Packers committed no penalties last night. That's an amazing performance.
Clean game,
Packers.
Yeah.
Of course, the Titans got called for 3 for 15 yards. So basically, it was like the officials just wanted to get the heck out of there. But. Yeah, look, I mean, the Kalu penalty, it doesn't end up hurting the Titans. It actually works in their favor because they get the one sack, you know, giving them 15 in 15 games. So they're on that beautiful pace of one per game still.
Right.
But they get that sack and they drive and they actually kill the clock. And 19-7 is about as good as you could hope for at that moment, you know. But still, it's an inexcusable penalty. Like, how do you make that call? It's just such a bad call. Like, how do you decide to make that call? I don't know.
Like,
there
was a theory going around last night that I guess the official lost sight of the line of scrimmage because of the snow. But even if that's the case, Josh Kalu is still the one furthest away from the ball. Like, how do you, if you've lost sight of the line of scrimmage, when you call it on somebody else, like, that was one of the most egregious calls I think I've ever seen. It was awful.
He's also the closest to the official making the call.
Yeah.
So he should be the easiest to see, and he was clearly not offsides.
And that's the other thing. If you've lost sight of where the line of scrimmage is, there's this magical thing called a football that you can look at and help determine where it is.
Yeah. No, there's no excuse. I mean, that's just weird. And, again, the Jones thing, like you said, I mean, he's in perfect position. Like, that's – as far as operationally, that was excellent work by that official to be in position to not screw up that call, and he screwed up the call. And that's a big moment. It's 19-14. You know, I don't have a lot of confidence that this Titans defense is going to, like, because of that bad call, if it's not made, that they're going to, you know, rise up and get a bunch of stops. But still, it's 19-14. Like, if you can get a stop there – even if you can hold them to a field goal, on that next drive and get the ball back down a possession after all that, you know, it's, I mean, you feel like you got a chance, but that moment, you know, they just completely botched that call. That's a big one. And, you know, the fact that Vrabel didn't get a chance to look at the replay, I'm sure, you know, he would have thrown the flag there, but it's bad officiating. It's another example of, I'll say it till the end of time, officials should be made available after games. They should have to answer for things.
Yeah.
And they don't, and there's not enough accountability there. But, you know, if you talk about the outcome of this game, I also think you're really scraping for excuses if you're a Titans fan and want to talk too much about the officials.
Yeah, like, look, the Packers were going to win this game. Like, when you don't force a punt the entire game, it's really hard to complain too much about officiating in the game from a defensive standpoint. But certainly, like, when you have obvious stuff, like just imagine what would have happened if you blocked the field goal, you're called for offside. And remember, they came back out. That made it 4th-and-3, I think. So
right.
the Packers decided to go for it. Like, if they convert on that play and score a touchdown, and I think at that point would have been up 26-0. Like, the game is just totally over at that point on an inexcusable play. I get it. It ended up working out for the Titans, and they scored a touchdown on the next drive, and it was 19-7. Obviously, eventually 19-14, and you're feeling okay about yourself. But, like, if that fourth down goes the other way and the Packers score a touchdown and it's 26-0, that is a call that completely changes the game. And, I mean, look, I get it. The Titans' defense was awful. I don't think that they were going to win this game based on what I saw yesterday, but I think it's easy to sit here and say that it worked out for the Titans, but there was a good chance if Aaron Rodgers didn't basically run into a sack on that play and the Packers take advantage of it, that game's over at 26-0 based off a ridiculous call.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's, again, if your guy in the studio calls you out, then you know you screwed up. You know, because some of those, I mean, Gene Steratore in that situation might have been like, well, guys, you know, let's look at it from the official's perspective.
But, well,
he
was Terry McCauley. And like, even though like he ended up being critical of the call, the way he started it, like started talking about it, I was like, oh, God, he is about to defend this, because he said, well, we don't really have the angle down the line here. And I thought, oh, God, where is he going with this? And then he ended up ripping the call. But, I mean, look, I didn't need to see the angle down the line. It's pretty obvious that nobody was offside on that play.
Yeah, and the way he described it, too, it's like, I mean, you can't make that call there. So, like, why are you compelled to make that call there? That's where it just, you know, official, like, okay, the like missing a guy on the sideline, it happens, okay? People miss stuff, you know? I mean, that the human error, and you got to allow for some of that. But throwing that flag, and again, like, are you telling me the Packers never held last night or never did anything wrong? Like, they got no penalties, but like deciding to throw the flag there, that's what really drives me crazy sometimes, is like missing a call, not making a call. Yeah. But actually deciding to throw that flag out when like there, what could possibly be the justification? You know, that's where it gets troubling with officiating.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, would you consider, if you're the Titans, taking the ball first if you win the toss rather than deferring? I don't know how many opening drive points the Titans have allowed, but it seems like the opposing team scores every first possession. Sometimes it feels like that sets the mood for the game in a negative way. This coming from John in White House. And it does seem like, Joe, that Mike Vrabel very much bullish on deferring, getting the ball in the second half. And that is, I think, an interesting question. If you're the Titans, based off how bad your defense has been, a game where you know you're going to have to score a lot of points heading into it, would you be better off taking the ball and trying to establish yourself and gaining momentum right off the jump?
Yeah, I think there's a case to be made for that. I mean, Vrabel's a big defer guy. You know, it's funny how, like, trends – it's very much, you know, things go in trends and a lot of different things with football. I remember when NFL teams never deferred. Yeah. You always took the ball because you're like, our offense is going to come exactly what the texter just said. Come down, score, set the tone, give us momentum right away. Vrabel's huge on the doubling up, and it worked again. And it worked in Jacksonville. It's worked other times this year. It worked again in terms of getting that last score, using the clock well, and then getting the ball and doubling up. They did it. So from that perspective, I mean, the deferring did help them get it to 19-14. But I do agree with the idea of if your defense is this bad, maybe you don't want to start out in a hole, you know? Like, by the way, speaking of trends, off topic, but just it's been bothering me since this whole thing of let's not score a touchdown, let's kill the clock. You know, Gruden, the Raiders against the Dolphins, and then the Coastal Carolina Liberty game. Like, guess what? Sometimes it's okay to have a touchdown lead and 40 seconds left versus a field goal lead and 10 seconds left.
Yeah.
Go ahead and take the touchdown. Anyway. That's like this new, the new thing. Everybody's got to do it. Fall before the end zone. And, you know, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know when scoring touchdowns in football just became like taboo. Like, I would like to score as many touchdowns as possible. Thank you, though.
I mean, it's ideal. If you can line up for a 19-yard field goal on the last play of the game, great. I get it. But, man, a touchdown inside a minute, it's okay, too.
Let's go back to
way the Raiders lost that game is the way that the Falcons lose almost like every game.
Yeah.
Like I felt like I was watching the Atlanta Falcons or even the LA Chargers.
Yeah.
But it just happened to be the Raiders.
Maybe it's just an extra dose of Fitzmagic, baby. That's all they needed. What a quarterback situation the Dolphins have right now.
That was incredible. By the way, that's the team that's setting up to play the Titans at this point.
Hey, I'm here for
it. Fitzmagic was awfully good. He was just flat out better than Tua the whole night.
The Ryan Tannehill revenge tour. The Titans and the Dolphins. You can see it now.
I will absolutely take it because that means the Dolphins' offense is the worst in the AFC when it comes to the playoff picture.
Yeah.
And that is good news for the Titans' defense.
Is it, though?
Is it? If there's such a thing.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
Relatively good news.
Yes. It's
relatively good.
It is.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
Compared to the other options like Cleveland or Indy or even Baltimore, Miami has you, maybe.
I don't know, man. I saw Philip Rivers strike again yesterday. I mean, for a while, that battle of Rivers versus Roethlisberger, it looked like my grandfather at the driving range from the senior tees. Just punting that thing, just chucking it. It somehow worked out okay yesterday, but that Philip Rivers death interception was unbelievable.
Well, it's like Roethlisberger was just completely inept, and Rivers is on fire, and then they just traded places.
Yeah.
You know? All of a sudden, Rivers is, oh, boy, here you go. And, you know, trying to push it down the field, and you throw a bad pick, and then Roethlisberger, I mean, that's the best he's looked in weeks. He looked more like Roethlisberger in Nashville against this defense.
Yeah, Peepaw Rivers didn't get his halftime nap in, and you could tell in the second half. I mean, it was bad.
I mean, what an amazing turn of events for the Titans. Where would they be right? What would we be talking about right now?
Yeah.
You know, they'd be out of the AFC South basically right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just they're lucky, given how bad they were last night in Green Bay. This weekend has actually turned out okay for them in the grand scheme of things. When we come back, we'll break down the loss last night against Green Bay even further. How much did the weather affect what the Titans did last night? And how much of a concern is that moving forward into the playoffs? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a 40-14 loss for the Titans last night on Sunday Night Football to the Green Bay Packers. The Titans fall to 10-5 on the season, still in first place in the AFC South. And you'll be able to hear from Titans coach Mike Vrabel. He's meeting with the media at 12:30. We'll have that for you on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And our live press conferences on ESPN 102.5 The Game are sponsored by Dunkin', featuring their new location on Harding Pike in Belle Meade. So a lot of the conversation, both after the game last night and on the broadcast with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, was about the conditions and the snow, the weather, everything going on in Green Bay. We know what it is. It's late December at Lambeau Field. It was pretty much a picturesque day at Lambeau Field yesterday after Christmas. You know what you're going to get this time of year in Wisconsin. And it looked like to me that the Titans, at least at first, appeared tentative in that game about their footing, appeared tentative about committing to really, you know, the speed of the game and obviously Davante Adams and the Packers offense didn't have much issue with it. I thought the Titans got better as the game went along there. But Joe, if, as you look at the game and evaluate the slow start for the Titans specifically, how much of a factor do you think the weather and the footing was in this game?
Well, I think it was a factor, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like the officiating. The Titans were bad, so the officiating, you know, is not, should not get credit for the loss, but it was still bad in spots. And I do think that it seemed like for about a quarter of this, the first quarter, like they, it was like two teams in different environments. You know, that's what it looked like to me. Like, it looked like the Packers were like, okay, we're fine. We know this. We're good. We can run and do everything normal in this. And the Titans looked like they weren't sure of themselves. So, again, not an excuse for starting out slowly and being in a big hole right away. But it did seem like because they played better in the middle part of the game that maybe they kind of figured it out or just got more aggressive, stopped being tentative, whatever it is. I mean, look, this Titans offense – the Packers defense really impressed me. Again, Jaire Alexander, but that whole secondary to me, they manned up a lot and they did the job. So give them credit. I still think that, like, if the Titans, again, I'll do the 10 games thing. If they played in, like, you know, ideal conditions for an offense, for a passing game, they probably don't have a lot of 14 point games against the Packers or really anybody, you know? So, I mean, I think you have to give the conditions some of the credit for what happened last night without, you know, excusing the Titans. To me, it's less of excusing them for this than saying, I'm not worried that this offense all of a sudden is in some rut. You know, I think that they'll probably come out in Houston Sunday and put up some numbers.
It is kind of interesting though. Like if you forecast and look ahead here, if the Titans get, you know, the job done on Sunday, they win the game against Houston, win the AFC South, they'll have a home playoff game, and if they get past that, I mean, going to Pittsburgh or going to Buffalo or going to Kansas City, very much on the table for the Titans. And as we know, in any of those three spots, the weather can get hairy, it can be cold, it can be snowy. You've talked about the game in Kansas City a few years ago, Joe, and that Ryan Succop kicked the ball, like one of the coldest environments that you've ever been a part of. How concerning is that if you're the Titans offense heading into those conditions? Because that was the talk heading into the game yesterday, like the cold weather. You would think, as much of as an advantage as it is for Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers because of the experience they have playing in those conditions, if there's a team that you thought could really, I guess, overcome that and that it could really help, it should be the Titans, given the way they run the ball, right, given how effective Derrick Henry is. And that just didn't happen yesterday. Obviously, I agree with you. I think the Packers defense deserves a lot of credit. But I do wonder if you're a Titans fan, forecasting that you may have to be in a situation like this again, heading into cold weather, potentially heading into snow, how much of a concern is that for you going into the playoffs?
Yeah, they're supposed to be built for it. I mean, Derrick Henry, it's supposed to be, you know, okay, keep tackling this guy. And it's cold, so it makes it even worse. You know, keep tackling him. We talk about the fourth quarter and trying to get to that point. I mean, what if Derrick Henry in this game gets 10 more carries because it's a close game or the Titans are ahead in the fourth quarter? You know, what's the average per carry on those 10 carries? You know, but I think when your defense is this bad and soft, as we've talked about, then it offsets that, you know? So I don't know if that's, I mean, we're talking about the offense being affected, but I think that the defense is just, but the defense is bad in any conditions. I will say that after yesterday, it's like, man, they need good passing conditions, you know, to be able to keep up, because I think their defense is so bad that they can get run on, they can get passed on, and you know, they're going to have to score a certain amount of points on any of these matchups. So if they are bad weather games, even though you got Derrick Henry, you do worry, I'd say, a little bit more about the passing game based on yesterday.
Yeah, and then like the kicking game yesterday, it was interesting, and we haven't talked about this a ton, but it's the first drive, if you're the Titans, Green Bay's just come right down the field, and you've got the ball on the 33-yard line, and we saw Gostkowski to open the game struggle with the kickoff. It goes out of bounds. You give Green Bay the short field. As you look back at that decision by Vrabel to punt the ball, from the 33 on that opening Titans drive. I mean, it's easy to second guess it after the ball ends up going in the end zone. I get what you're trying to do there. You're trying to put Aaron Rodgers and company inside the five and make them drive the length of the field. But when the net positive really ends up only being 12 yards there, it's easy to look back and think, maybe if you're not going for a field goal, just go for it on fourth down there if the end result's going to be the ball going into the end zone.
Right, and then you go back a play and say, you know, maybe on third and seven you try to run it, you know, to set up a fourth and a better situation. You know, you think about going for it. Yeah, you're not going to kick a field goal after watching the Packers like you said, Gostkowski's kickoff, and then after watching the Packers extra point,
yeah.
You're not even thinking about a field goal there. So why not have a two-play plan that you're going for it? You know, hey, I know the plan is to complete the pass on third down, but yeah, that was one of those things that I get the idea of, okay, bad weather, you know, how about pinning them? But man, it was early, but as we saw quickly, I don't care where the Packers were on the field. They were going to go down the field on you. And I believe that next drive was the penalty on Evans that extended that drive, or else they actually would have had a stop. But that was one of those, man, go with your strengths. I mean, you have to try to win these games with your offense. Moving forward, I mean, you have to just think, you know what? This offense has got to carry the day. Let them make plays. No trust in the defense. I mean, you can't. How much trust can you have if you're Mike Vrabel in this defense right now?
Absolutely none. I mean, I don't know. And look, he's never going to say this publicly, that there's just no trust whatsoever in the defense and that they have no chance to get better and compete in some of these games. But if you're being realistic with yourself, like, that's almost the way you have to approach it, in my opinion, if you're the coaching staff. Like, there's so much pressure on this offense and Arthur Smith. And look, I mean, you've talked about this too, and we're going to get to the Houston game a lot coming up, obviously, this week, a must-win game for the Titans. It looks like Deshaun Watson's going to be in there. I mean, he said yesterday he's going to play in the game against the Titans. He took a scary hit at the end of that game yesterday against the Bengals, and I get it. I mean, Houston's defense is just absolutely atrocious. But the way that Deshaun Watson has been known to take over games and how much success he had earlier this year against that Titans defense, you got to be nervous if you're heading into this game, if you're a Titans fan, that it could be one of those Deshaun Watson days and your offense doesn't quite have enough to overcome that. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Titans are going to win this game, but that's certainly not out of the realm of possibility that Deshaun Watson could just eat this Titans defense alive.
Well, I mean, this is a matchup of the 29th and 30th best defense in the NFL in terms of total defense. Titans 29th, Texans 30th. Only the Lions and Jaguars are worse.
Yeah, so,
and yeah, I mean, look, the first time these teams played, you know, it has to go to overtime. 33-30 Titans. So, no, there's, I mean, the Titans should win, but yeah, that guy is very scary. Should be very scary for this defense, and they'd love nothing more than to ruin the day. A year ago, of course, he didn't play in that game because they were in. They'd won the division. There's no need to play him. Now, you know, John McClain kind of speculated yesterday, and I actually DM'd John McClain, you know, the legendary Houston Chronicle writer, because he made it sound like he was kind of reporting that Watson wasn't going to play, but he said, I'm just saying that he shouldn't play. And
yeah,
like you said, Watson said he will, and he took the arm, he got hit on the arm or whatever. But, yeah, expect him to see him out there, and it's one of those, well, we've seen it before in this league many times, where it's like a division rival, and one of them has really nothing to play for, the other one's playing for everything, and the team with nothing to play for is loose and, you know, throwing it all over the field and causes problems. So, I mean, with this Titans defense, I mean, I think everything's on the table right now. Everything bad.
When we come back, our man Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us. We'll continue to break down the Titans' loss to the Packers. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexro live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more.
That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.